Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. For the glory of God, we are here today. We give him all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we are going to begin this Tuesday. It feels like Monday because we were off Monday. And I hope yesterday that you had the opportunity to listen to the interview with Ian Rood. I think it was excellent. And we're going to continue on those type of interviews with men like Ian as we go down the road today. But what is it that's going on this Tuesday morning? Where are we? What's happening in the world in which we live this morning? I want to address something that I believe I'm going to speak to you from my heart today, obviously from the Word of God, because that's where my heart is. It's in the Word. And I definitely want to talk about what I'm picking up, all the pieces of information that are going on around and about us. And I'm going to give you my take on things, what I believe the Word of God is actually telling us. And so I believe it's an amazing time to be alive. I'm glad to be alive. I thank God that my life on earth is not a wandering star or a cloud without water. I thank God that there's purpose and destiny in my life, and I pray that there's purpose and destiny in your life as well. I pray that God's people everywhere would be awakening to the times that we are living in, and that we would see them, we would understand them, that we would not be a people that have eyes to see but don't see, or ears to hear but don't hear, or hearts that don't understand. I pray that we would be a people that have the ability to see beyond the veil of all the trickery and deceit that's going on in the world, and see into the heart of the Father, and to see into what he's doing right now. And I think it's absolutely amazing that God has given the world his word in a book called the Biblios, or the Bible, his parchment, his letter, his word that has eternal value to it. I marvel at the wisdom of God. The world may mock that ancient wisdom, and they think that their modern wisdom is so intelligent, but in reality, they're only lining up with what God's word said about them as well. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you ever be dismayed because of your faith in Christ. I am positive 1 billion percent that the word of God is true, and that the word of God is going to keep you, and that the word of God is where the wisdom and the mystery and the light and the truth and the grace and the hope is for all people everywhere, for those particularly that have been led into the intrinsic value of the Bible and have allowed that word into their heart. My God, what a transformation you're undergoing in your life, and we praise God for that. So we're going to walk through the muck and mire again. You ready? But I want to begin. We're going to be talking about the Church of Laodicea today, the seventh church in the book of Revelation, and we're going to complete the message to the seven churches, and then we're going to be moving on in the book of Revelation as we go. But for right now, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, okay? So here we go, Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, 24 is where we're going to begin. Another parable put Jesus forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Well, there is a particular meaning to that parable, but there's a lot we can learn from it. And one of the things that I'm learning from that parable that I would share with you today is that when Jesus said an enemy has done this, and we know that in the explanation of the parable, he says it was the devil. And while men slept, the enemy installed something. He planted something. I believe, just cutting through the chase, that we are living at a time that COVID-19, coronavirus, I believe it is a massive hoax, and I believe it is a calculated hoax, and I believe the agenda behind the hoax was for the enemy to install a system. And I believe that while these months have been going on and the propaganda machines have been churning and while all the debate has been taking place, that there has been an enemy, the devil, that has been sowing or installing his seed or his system in the world in which we live. I believe that this was supposed to happen around Y2K. I believe Y2K was a grand opportunity for the globalists in this world to advance their plans. They could have shut down the entire planet on Y2K if they had chosen to do so, but that was not the moment. Y2K, you remember the scare of Y2K, it performed at another level. Y2K performed in the manner of electronically uniting the world together. All the third world countries on this earth that were offline, all those third world countries that were, you know, the lesser developed countries down there, you know, it was only the big boys at the top that were electronically connected through the internet. But Y2K served to unite the world electronically. And this is part of the progressive unfolding plan of the adversary. In order to control the whole world, they needed to bring the whole world out into the open, to bring everybody online. So while Y2K did not shut the world down, it certainly provided an opportunity to electronically connect the world. Now, here we are, 20 years down the road. We are now in 2020, and the world has been electronically taken online. I believe that the 5G towers that are being built around the world, and you could say whatever you want to say about 5G towers, I believe that they have some form of reference to the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis chapter 11, when Nimrod built a tower to unite the world. I believe that 5G towers are the next level of gathering together, taking control, spying on the world. You call it whatever you want. It is a uniting factor. I believe this. You may not believe that. I believe it's true. I believe that that Tower of Babylon, that Babel Tower that was built with a spiritual understanding to gather the world, to control the world, to have a one world ruler, Nimrod, the man of rebellion. And so I believe that we are living at a time where all the nations of the earth, because of Y2K, were electronically connected. And over the last 20 years, there's not a place on this planet, not even could Saddam Hussein hide himself in a cave in the Middle East without being found out. The spyware, the satellites, the intrusion into our voice recognition, facial recognition, our monetary accounts, our everything has been set up for 20 years. This world is under a particular control that has been electronically gathered together. Now, Jesus said this was happening while men slept. And the church, particularly in America, went to sleep and was living the dream of great prosperity and success and big houses, cars, blah, 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 and began to lower the standard, began to leave the watchman's wall. They no longer watched for the people. They were concerned about themselves. And I believe this is true. I believe it's true. And every one of us have to examine ourselves as to whether or not that is true about us, because God forbid it is, because we would have to go into grievous lamentation and repentance if we have failed our commission to be faithful watchmen, faithful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to see it. We have to see it for what it is. I believe with all of my heart that this COVID-19 is what maybe 9/11 could have produced. I believe that there were many things in the last 20 years that could have transpired to bring this world into the place that it's going right now. And what is that? It is one world government, global new world order. It is the global control at the highest levels, beyond the view of the normal people, beyond the view of independent governments. There is something that has been in operation at the highest echelons of power in this world, and they who operate in that power receive their instructions from none other than Lucifer himself. They are the priesthood that is operating. They are the seed that the devil sowed among the tares. They are the priesthood of Lucifer carrying out his plans, setting the world up for the time that he is cast out of heaven onto this earth, and he will begin his season of misery, rage, fury, persecution, violence against everything in this world. The level of death that is coming to the world, the level of persecution, the level of disease and war and famine and hunger, the wipeout that is going to come, don't worry about it. If you're in it, you're gone. You just need to make sure that your life is prepared before God, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And there are some key things that we could be doing to avoid some of the stuff that's coming down the pike. The book of Revelation told us about the Church of Philadelphia, how because of their conduct, the Lord was going to keep them from the hour of temptation that was going to come upon the whole earth. There are the children of Israel as an example, a type and a shadow of living in Goshen, having light when there was darkness in Egypt. There is a wilderness for God's people when Egypt is being destroyed. The people of God were going out into the wilderness. There will be a provision for the elect of God in this hour. There's no doubt about it in the book of Revelation and throughout Scripture. We know this is true, but we have to begin to wake up and understand what time it is. Everything that the prophets of God have ever spoken about these days are now here. I love in the book of Acts when Peter stood up and said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." In other words, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had come. The church had been baptized and born again and been birthed into the earth by a baptism. They went out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost, shouting in the languages of the people around the world. And Peter recognized and said, "Hey, this is what Joel said was going to happen. And I do believe that that was a foretaste of what God is going to do in these last days, because I do believe for the elect of God, God has the very best prepared for his best. I really believe that those who give him their best, God's going to give his best to them. The lighthearted, the lukewarm, the compromised, the disinterested, the people on the wayside, I don't believe for one second they're going to receive anything from the Lord. That's why I want to make sure my life is giving God his best. I want to live for him. I want to give him my best, and I know that he will give me his best, and I know in this prophetic third day that we're living in, God's very best will come to those who love him and honor him. Now, we need to talk, okay, because that's good, and I do believe that God will make a way where there seems to be no way, okay, but we need to wake up, because right now we could hear the prophets, this world system that we are in right now, this is that which was spoken of by the prophets, and while men slept, while men were social distancing, while the world was told to go home and wash your hands, while the world was put in that position and everybody basically yielded, not everybody, but a large portion of the population complied because they've been trained to be compliant. They complied with the rules and the orders of this present governmental power. And while they were in their homes watching Netflix or doing whatever they were doing, the enemy was installing a new system, and that's what I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying. A new system has been installed. It may need a few kinks. It may be something else, and I believe it has something to do with 5G towers, because those 5G towers are, again, representative of the global Tower of Babel in the days of Nimrod. Now, well, they were building that tower in the days of Nimrod. God came down and stopped it. The 5G towers that are coming right now are the final installment to the needs of the New World Order, the control fanatics up there, the globalists, the Luciferian priesthood, the satanic priesthood. The Satanists are wide out in the open now, okay? And they have been serving Lucifer throughout our generation, particularly throughout the nations of the earth. But in our generation, since the United Nations came to power, the Luciferian priesthood has been growing around the world. And again, here we are 20 years down the road from the Y2K scare, the Y2K scare. They could have shut everything down, but it wouldn't have helped them, because a world that was not connected electronically, they could not control the way that they want to. So they brought the scare and they brought the fear and they did the magician's trick. And while people were thinking about one thing, they were installing something else. And that installation was a new electronic advancement, whether it was 3G, 4G, and when it was bringing the world up. Now we are in the phase of the 5G. The 5G towers are going to bring everything not only up, but it's going to quicken the pace into real time, and it's going to fast pace everything. You talk about acceleration. If you've been following this ministry, a couple of years ago, we sat on this radio station and read prophecies about the time of acceleration, that everything is about to accelerate within the kingdom of God and within the kingdom of this world in the satanic principalities. We have been witnessing the acceleration of these events. So the grand deception has created an environment, enemy to install his final solution to bring about his one world government. And that's how fast things are really going. Let's take a look at another verse here, because what I want to do is I'm going to just ask you these questions right up front rather than, you know, saving thoughts and ideas. If in fact we are witnessing with our eyes, with hearing with our ears, understanding with our hearts, there are people in this world that can't see a thing. They are blind because the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who have rejected the gospel. And when the God of this world blinds your mind, you can't see, you can't understand, you can't perceive and hear properly. But to those whose eyes are open, whose ears are open, whose hearts are open, right now, is there any deniability? Is there anything that you could call into this radio broadcast and say, well, the reason why it's not that urgent is because, and then tell us, urgent to do what? We see an acceleration of what is going on. We understand that while men slept, the devil sowed seed. He installed his final part to bring about his end game, so to speak. He knows what's coming. He's read the Bible. He knows he's coming onto this earth, and he knows he's going to have a short time. He understands these things, okay? If we are witnessing, and Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, when you see these things begin to come to pass, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he said, flee to the mountains. He said, go into the wilderness. He said, if you're on the top of your house, don't go down to get your stuff. He said, if you're in the field, don't return to your home to get anything. I want to ask you, because the Bible says that the time will come that when certain events are beginning to manifest, that God's people were to do certain things. Now, I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25 says, and I'll just, I always like to go to the verse before, verse 24. And let us consider one another, body of Christ, okay, this is the admonition to the people of God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, okay? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, some people read that and they say, oh, it means don't not go to church, okay, assembling. So I looked up this word assembling, and it is the episunagoga. The episunagoga, and the synagogue, synagogue, if you will, the epi, all right? So what it means, do not forsake the assembling, do not forsake the gathering together in one place. Gathering together in one place. And some people say, well, yeah, that's on Sunday morning or Saturday night or Wednesday night Bible studies. It's not what's being said, all right? We need to understand this. Now, that's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but it says to gather together in one place. It literally means a complete collection. And it does talk about a Christian meeting. But in context, what is really being said here? In context, in verse 25, not forsaking the assembly. Let's look at the word forsaking. And that means that's the en katalapo. And that word means abandon or desert, to leave. It means to leave behind in some place or just kind of forsake it, all right? So don't forsake, the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the gathering together in one place of ourselves together. So again, the admonition, do not forsake the gathering together in one place as the manner of some is. As the manner of some is, but listen, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are we looking at here? The day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord? The day that Jesus warned us about? We see the day approaching. Can you see the day approaching? And what is that day? It is Satan's plan from the beginning of time that has been revealed in Scripture, to the degree that you could read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and realize that that man of sin is Lucifer, the exact description of Isaiah chapter 14. So you can look at it. You could see the word of God very clearly that Lucifer is involved from the very beginning of time to the very end, okay? And that this is the moment that he has been waiting for. And again, while men slept, he installed a system. Now, let's talk about something else for just a moment, because I do want to get back to the necessity of the body of Christ assembling together. And, well, let me just speak into that for just a moment. again, I'm just being really upfront with you. In the 1990s, Patricia and I were in an RV and we traveled 100,000 miles in our RV, and we were starting home fellowships across this nation. And we did it, and it grew, and it worked, and it was tested in 1996. And for about 2 years, we were on this path of starting home fellowships, sending pastors out, and it was working until the enemy came in and really did some damage. But we learned a lot through it. I was a very young pastor at the time, and I learned a lot. I was in my young 30s at that time. But the vision was there. God gave us the vision and the calling. I believe that what we are witnessing in the acceleration of end time events necessitates an opportunity. The opportunity is to gather together God's people in certain locations wherever they are, and to download them and equip them and impart spiritual knowledge and revelation and truth to bring a deliverance ministry to them and a prophetic word to those communities. I believe that if I'm understanding this properly, whatever, how much time there is, that right now God is saying it is time once again to have local assemblies in different places gathering together. If you live in Colorado, and you go to church, and I'm just bringing this as an example. If you live in Colorado and you go to church, but your church is doing nothing to prepare for what's ready to come down the pike, you need to find like-minded believers, and you need to bring like-minded believers together that understand what you understand. Because what will happen if you go to church and they're not doing anything, they're going to wind up influencing you not to do anything, and you'll be caught off guard. What needs to happen right now in an accelerated way is that 30, 40, 50, 10, 8, 15 people of like mind need to start gathering together in the areas where you live. And then there needs to be impartation. There needs to be, an equipping, the prophetic word, the word of deliverance, sanctification. There needs to be proper instruction. There has to be that. It's imperative. Now, Patricia and I, who did this in the 1990s, we are ready to go right now. If there are people out there that desire the anointing that God has put within this ministry, and you are willing to gather people together of a like mind, we will come to you. We would prefer to come in an RV because in an RV, you don't have to enter into people's homes. In an RV, we get to travel across the country, not stay in hotels. We don't want to stay in hotels. We've been in hotels, and we found out that people have been there before us, and there's always something weird. We would like to travel in an RV so that we can move throughout this nation, and we could go wherever God's people are willing to gather. And I'm telling you, if there are two or three people in a city that have understanding, like-minded understanding about what we're talking about, and are ready to move in faith and not just think about it, we will be ready to go as well. And I believe that God would make provision for us to be able to do this, and that's how we want to spend our lives. Okay, we don't want to spend our lives on the ocean in a boat going fishing. We want to spend our lives traveling this country, wherever the saints of God are that understand and can see what time it is, so that we can go, we can establish a work, we could promote that work, we could seal it, we could pray about it, and we could gather people together so that they can become proactive. So if you live in Colorado and there's 8 people that you know that have this like-mindedness, but the churches are doing nothing, we're ready to come. We will start Bible studies in your home. We will pray and labor to send that minister of God to you to raise you up after as much time as we need to be there to do the work. And again, in the 1990s, we saw it happen. We went to Jacksonville, Florida, and ministered to one family. Out of that one family, it began to grow. We sent pastors out there. Like I said, 1996, our work was tested. It was burned up in fire. And yet we were saved, yet though as. And it was because it was a learning curve. We learned a lot again. And now it's time to do it and do it with wisdom and knowledge and righteousness. We didn't plan it. We just went and it happened. But now there's a call. There's 8 people in your city that want the truth. And you follow this ministry because you know there's truth. And you may say, well, there's a lot of truth out there. That's true. Does every ministry have a mission that God has given to us? You see, we had the vision 28 years ago of being suspended in space and looking upon this dark earth and seeing little lights on here and there, and then seeing into those places where the lights are that there were 7 or 8 people with the glory of God in those houses, people being prayed over, pastors zealous and jealous not to allow anything in to corrupt the influence of the Holy Spirit. We have been given that vision, and we are ready to go. We are ready. Now, why am I saying this to you? If you live in Colorado and you have 7 or 8 people and it's time to start gathering together and doing something, what would you do? Well, don't do what the other church is doing and just gather together for Bible studies. Start preparing. What we have done in where we live is we have gathered together, we have continued to pastor, and we have been preparing with the people who are of like mind. And I'm going to leave that right there. You need to start doing this. Why? Because we're told here not to forsake the gathering or the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that important? Because assembling together is where more strength is going to come. If you're going to go into this storm and you're going to try to ride out these waves that are coming by yourself or with a church that is unprepared for what's ready to take place, I think you're going to get in trouble. I believe that there is God's will. The world says safety in numbers. God's will for the last days for his people to gather together in one place. Build communities. Don't be afraid of what's happened before and behind. You need to build communities with people of like mind who love Jesus Christ, who know the word of God, and are understanding what time it is. And if you're ashamed or you're afraid that some family member is going to make fun of you because you know what time it is and you're responding to it, don't worry about it. Noah went through the same thing. He was mocked and scoffed until the flood came. Keep that perspective. Build. It's time. If you live in Colorado, you live in any other city in this country, and you've got people that are hungry, they're serious, they want to get busy, they want to gather together, they want to buy some land, they want to plant a garden, they want to dig a well, they want to build some provisions, they want to store some food, whatever it is, they want to do it together as a community. And when they're gathered together, they will be stronger as a compact, unified people who know how to pray. First of all, who know how to intercede, who know how to bind up a demonic spirit and cast it out and understand the power of God, then be able to continue to support one another through daily living. I believe that this is what the word of God says. When you flee to the mountains of Judea, man, I hope you don't go alone. When you flee into the wilderness, I hope you're not alone. When God took Israel out of Egypt, they went as a collective body. Now, the world is trying to collect all the nations of the earth together. That's what 5G towers, that's what electronic connectedness is all about, to gather the world together. But what they don't know, which we should read about, is in Zephaniah chapter 3, that God is actually assembling the nations to pour out his wrath upon them. They don't know that because Satan's always going to lose. But if the world is ready to gather together and God calls his people to gather together into a collective one, it's time. Now, you can't have all the people in the country gather together in Northwest Arkansas. And yet there's a prophecy that a lot of Christians are going to be pouring into Northwest Arkansas in the last days. And we found that out after we were divinely led into Northwest Arkansas. There's a glorious grace here. But I have to imagine there are other places for gathering together. If you live in a city that you cannot find a gathering together with people of like mind to support what you believe, well, maybe it is time to pack your bags and get out of there and find a community that you would be an addition to, that you could bring your gifts and talents to, and that they could be a blessing to you as well. What am I saying here today? I feel the urgency. I feel that what God has said in his word, when you see these things, then you need to do something. And I'm seeing them. I saw them years ago. And God showed us things in the spirit, and it provoked us to give up the life that we had in San Diego and to come out here and to do a work. And we've been doing that work faithfully for 11 years. This October will make it 11 years. And so I just feel like this is what God wants you to be doing and thinking about doing. Now, I want to press on to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 in verse 34. Luke 21, 34. If you're out there and you want us to come, all you have to do is contact me and say, Pastor, I want you to come. I want to gather a few people. You want to invite you into our living room, into our home, and I want you to impart, and we'll see what happens from there. If you're serious about this, we will do it. We will do it. It's the calling of God upon our lives. Okay? We will do it. We will be there. We will go. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 21, 34. Take heed to yourselves, Jesus said, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Now listen, in Hebrews chapter 10, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching, the day. Here it says, the day will come upon you unawares if you don't take heed to yourself. How do we take heed to ourselves? Most people do not take heed to themselves when they live independent lives. They show up when they want to. They go when they want to, come and go. They have no accountability in their lives. There's nobody there looking into their lives. There's nobody there saying anything to them about their conduct or their ways. There's just nothing there. So if you're not careful and you do not take heed to yourselves, what will happen? Your heart will be overcharged with surfeiting. The word surfeiting there is the word krapala, and it means giddiness caused by drinking wine to excess. Can you imagine that? That giddy attitude of pretending there's nothing wrong? I mean, I'm giddy in the sense of God's word is being fulfilled. Hallelujah. But people kind of mocking, scoffing, giddy about drinking. Oh, you know what happens when people start drinking? They start acting different. They think they're having a good time. Well, it says again, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become giddy. In other words, you start looking at these things going, ah, nah, oh, no, you know, that's too much. Come on, man, let's chill out, relax, party. Come on, you know. All right, so take heed to that, and your hearts be overcharged with this, and drunkenness and cares of this life. Now, when these things happen to your heart, I got to pay my bills, I got to work, you still have the Egyptian mindset, like the Israelis that were building the Egyptian empire. You're acting like a slave to the world system rather than a slave to Jesus Christ. And so the cares of this life and all that stuff, you know, they burden your heart and they restrain you from doing what God wants you to do in your life. It'll come upon you, what will? The day that is approaching, the day that is coming, the day that we're preparing for, it'll come upon you unawares. And now listen to verse 35, Luke 21, 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What is coming like a snare? Well, if you were to turn the lights on in the spiritual realm or in the second heaven realm, we are in a network of radio waves and all kinds of interneting. And come on, it's coming like a snare and they will not be able to escape. And here's what it says in verse. Well, it says, first of all, 35, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How will you escape? We've already concluded biblically that a pre-tribulational rapture is out of the question. The great escape in the last days is not through a pre-tribulational rapture. We could go through it again if we need to, but it's not in the plans. So what is the escape? Well, what we hear Jesus saying, when you see these things coming, the snare is coming, get out into the wilderness. Get out into the mountains. Get out of the cities. Get out of where that place is in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Well, man, you got to know, and you've got to get out of areas that you don't belong in. If the Holy Spirit is not quickening something in you, provoking you, making you feel uneasy, trying to hurry you along, remember, we have a tendency to be like Lot. We want to linger all night long until the last moment where we're literally being dragged out, because Lot's wife loved living in Sodom and Gomorrah because that was her home, that was her nest, that's where all of her friends were, family were. And even though things weren't right, she loved it. She had an affection there. That's where she wanted to live. She didn't want to move again. And here now, these strangers are telling her husband, get out of here. Well, you know what happens. She turns around and becomes a pillar of salt because her heart was tied to Sodom. Is your heart tied to Sodom and Gomorrah? Is it tied to your city, your town, your relatives? What is it tied to? Listen, if it's real, if the Bible is real, and Jesus Christ said the things that are happening on this earth right now are the signs that you need to know to split, you need to pay attention. So again, we're to be watching and praying always, always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And all you have to do is read all the stuff that's going on. The sun, the moon, and the stars will not give their light. You know that men's hearts failing them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, troubles, commotions, unstable times. If you're not seeing that right now, and you're just listening to the propaganda of, well, it's going to be better. We know the world's already saying what we said months ago, four waves. Now they're saying last night on the news, everybody's preparing for the second wave. Well, they weren't saying that a few months ago. No, the prophets of God are speaking to the body of Christ for their edification. Prophets of God that are truly prophets of the new covenant are warning God's people, and their words are being confirmed so God's people could take heart and trust that what they're saying is true. Listen, let me just balance this out. If we never leave this place and we stay right here for the rest of our lives with the people that we are with, fine with us. We have no necessity other than the call of God upon our lives to go out and assist and to help God's people other places. If we do not budge from where we are, primo. Beautiful. I know that we are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. I am confident, even in our weakness, that God's strength is with us. I am sure that where we are limited in our understanding, God graces us daily with what we need to know. We are with a people that are growing up and maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting off the old man, walking in the newness of life, and we love to fellowship with people that love God so much that they're willing to take up their cross, die to themselves, and get on in the sweetness of fellowship. But always, not only Bible study in church, but working together to prepare, because we see what is coming. Noah, prepare your ark. Now, if we never left, we're fine. Honest to God, there's nothing more I could ask for in my life than to be right here, right now, doing what I'm doing. I have nothing else. And my security comes from God, that he is well able to protect us, to put a dome over us. If he could protect Goshen, he could protect us, Northwest Arkansas. And while we're our little fellowship here, not so little anymore, our fellowship here is beautiful, we're surrounded by people in the body of Christ around here. There are people that are in the know all over this region. And maybe there are people that are in the know in your region. But I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is going to begin to gather people together, more and more of like mind. We're witnessing it. We're watching it. And we're gathering together because life is changing. Everything that the soothsayers were saying, everything the prosperity preachers were saying, life is everything is okay, it's okay, it's okay, peace and safety. It's not peace and safety anymore. Life is changing, and if the world is changing and things are changing, your shift has to be mentally to understand what's changing and what God wants you to do. And what God is calling forth, I believe at this time, is an accelerated gathering together. We are willing to go. And what a better way to spend life, if that's what God wants, to go out there and prepare the saints of God. I was in a Bible study years ago in Escondido, California, and it was so cool because I was given the floor to speak. And I spoke probably at a tone I'm at right now. I was rather loud and just kind of urgent upon things. And this woman came up during the service, and she began to prophesy that you will be going from home to home, and you will be strengthening the saints of God, and you will be traveling, and you will be going, and you will this, and you will bring the prophetic word, and all these things would be happening. At the end of that service, some guy walked up to me and said, "Hey, that was a good message, but you don't have to be so loud. Everybody could hear you." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, okay, I get it. But that's just the way I was unctioned." 3 minutes later, this little old lady came up to me and she said, "Sonny, I want to thank you for speaking up. I've been coming to this Bible study for months. I can't hear a word they say." I said, "Praise the Lord," and pass the ammunition. So I'm telling you these things because they're serious. Now, let's look at another verse. I want you to think about what we just read. Your heart's being overcharged with surfeiting, giddiness, drunkenness, cares of this life. What kind of a church does that look like? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, let's take a look at the last church in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:14, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." All right? Why does he come that way? Sometimes I think Laodicea thought it was so something, and yet here comes the creator of everything. He's a lot bigger than Laodicea. He says in verse 15, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." The word spew, because there's been a lot of conversation about it, is emeo, and it means to emit. Basically, it literally means to, you got it, vomit. I'm not spit, vomit. Jesus said to the church, Laodicea, "If you remain lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now that's tough. I will vomit you out of my mouth. What was their lukewarmness? Verse 17, "Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not," you don't know, "that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." What was he saying to the church at Laodicea? You don't know your true condition. I've told you the story about showing up around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a noon at a blue sky, bright sunny day in Rancho Bernardo, California, long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. Nobody else was around, and there on the main thoroughfare was an elderly couple standing in front of their car, holding each other, terrified. Down the street was a bicycle, twisted and mangled, and right in the middle was a man laying in the middle of the street. I pulled over, I walked to the man, his leg was wrapped around his neck, everything was broken, and blood was pouring out of his head. Blood just was pumping, pumping, pumping out of his head. I'm not a medical person, I didn't know what to do. I threw my shirt off, I wrapped it around his head, and I started praying, praying, praying. He started yelling at me, and he said to me, "Get away from me. Where's my bike? I have to go. Get out of my way." And he became so belligerent, I stood up, I backed off. I said, "Go ahead, get up." I knew he couldn't budge. He was in shock. The ambulance came. He was taken away. I got in my car, and I was crying and angry all at the same time. And I was having such a beautiful day. And I said, "God, why did you have to show me that? Why did I have to see that?" And he spoke to me like you could hear my voice, and he said, "This is the condition of my church. They are torn. They are broken. They have been beaten. They are crippled. They can't move. They are in shock. So they keep going through the idea in their brain that they're okay. Their brain is telling them, go to church, go to Bible study. Their brain is telling them, I've got a life to live. But in reality, they are stuck. And he wanted me to address this issue with his church, beginning with my own heart and with the people that we were pastoring. The church is paralyzed. It is broken. That's why it's in the condition that it's in, believing all these lies, confused, and ineffective in a world that right now desperately needs an outflow of the glory of Christ through a many-membered body of sons and daughters. Folks, there's brokenness in every human being on this planet, and in the church there are people that are so broken and wounded from unforgiveness, from injury, from rejection, from insult, to words of condemnation spoken over them since they were born. There are people whose minds have been ravished by the powers of darkness. People have been involved in addictions and bondages, and even though they're not using anymore, they're still dealing with the damages that the enemy has worked upon their soul. And they're walking around trying to get on with the eternal purpose of God, and they can't. They can't move. They can't budge spiritually. Oh, they can physically go to church. Their brain can tell them, hey, I'm going to church. I'm okay. But like the church of the Laodiceans, they don't know their true condition. They don't know that they have been bleeding from the inside out. They don't know. And the church doesn't know today what to do because they don't. They've been going to churches where peace and safety, you're out of here in a preacher of rapture, once saved, always saved. Don't worry about it. Just trust us. Trust your eternal soul to us. That's not what the good shepherd would say. It's not what the good shepherd would say. You're living in a delusion. You're thinking your life has meaning by going to work and paying the bills and going to church and going and paying tithes and offerings, and you're going through the system, and but you're broken. Your local church is broken. It's not doing anything in the eternal sense of bringing change to your environment. And now we're there at this time. I mean, the church has been good in feeding programs and feeding the homeless and hungry, which I totally advocate. I think it's awesome. Good works are out there, but we're living in different times. We're living in different times. And everybody's using the same word. Are people awakening? Are people awake? Are people realizing what time it is? Hopefully they are. Well, we do hope so. But to those who are awake, what are you doing? It's time to get healed. It is time to get made whole again. It's time to get the mind of Christ to overwhelm your brain so you're not under the delusion. It's time to get busy. And maybe the first step in getting things moving in the right direction is gathering together in your living room. And if you have someone there that can lead it, then let them lead it properly with hearts for God and for the people. If you don't, we will come. It's our ministry. We will come. We will come to your quiet little home with a few quiet little people, and we will begin, and we will pray, and we will see what God wants to do. And we will see if the people will come and gather. And only God knows what will happen beyond that. But we're willing. I want you to know that. So this church in Laodicea, they don't know their true condition. So Christ says to them in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Now, this is obviously spiritual gold, which is always connected to spiritual faith, and to have faith so that they may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Laodicea was known to be selling some of the greatest quality of clothing. And then he says, and while they were boasting in their Jordache jeans, so to speak, Christ is saying, you need a robe of righteousness, an unspotted, unblemished, unwrinkled robe of righteousness you need to put on, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. They were boasted, Laodicea, and people from around the world of that time came to them for this particular eye salve. And yet Christ was saying, even that physical eye salve is not going to save you from your blindness. You need to get from me the eye salve that will help you to see. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people going to church right now that are blind, 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 because all they're doing is living for this world. They're only living for this world. And I'm telling you that your life has more meaning than that. Your life has more meaning. If you are a rich billionaire and you want to be involved in advancing the kingdom, then you use your money to advance the kingdom and building what God wants to prepare his people with right now. If you're going out just to make money so you could just do what you want to do and you want to live for yourself, you're moving in the wrong direction. Everything you do should be thinking kingdom, kingdom, preparing, building, working. How do I help? How do I get involved? Do you know, I'm going to shift for just a moment. Do you know why, and this is my belief, okay, this is what I believe. Do you know why they're spending trillions of dollars? $2 trillion over here, $7 trillion over here, $8 trillion over there. You know why? They're making on purpose, I believe, money, dollars, paper, obsolete. I think there is a purposeful intent. Remember how we began the broadcast. The devil, while men slept, planted these seeds. While men have slept, while COVID-19 has gotten everybody out of the way, a new installment, the final installment of the 5G towers and all the other systems to bring control over the nations has been underway. And the spending of trillions, trillions, billion, it means nothing anymore because they want to make it obsolete so everything will go to digital cash or digital economy. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Money will mean nothing. And how fast will it come? As fast as coronavirus, quote unquote, hit the nations. Spend your money wisely. Make it useful. Utilize it to build the kingdom. Prepare resources. Here's what's more important than money. You ready? Resources. Get resources into your hand. Gold and silver, it will be helpful because that's God's currency. If you have money to buy gold and silver, you should do it. But more importantly, shelter, food, water, that's the ark. God promises, I'll bless your food and water supply. That's what you need. Shelter, clothing, food, water. Now, Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. How are you seeking the kingdom of God? Understanding what's happening right now in this world. And it's happening so fast. A 20-year window was given from Y2K, which then people were saying, oh my God, the electricity is going to go out. We're going to live like the 1700s. We're in 2020 now. And now the world is interconnected, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a global interconnectedness that belonged to the global elite, that even if all electricity went down in homes around the world, they would be up and running still monitoring. I don't know how that would work, but I just have a feeling that the satanic endgame gives total control over the nations of the earth. And that's why what the prophets spoke long ago is what is upon us today. I believe this with all of my heart. We're living at a time that if you can see it, if you can hear it, if you can understand it, we must respond properly. I don't believe it's a time to run in panic and save your life. That's not what I'm advocating. I'm advocating being led by the Holy Spirit to understand what God told us to do when these things happen. And what he told us to do is gather together. What he told us to do is to labor together, build your ark. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Prepare your ark. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the days of Noah. It's what the scriptures tell us to do in the New Testament. And work together. Labor together. Pray and watch that you be found worthy to escape the snare. Because once the snare comes down, Now is going to come the martyrdom. People's heads are going to be chopped off because there are going to be many saints that are not going to bow their knee to the image of Baal. They're going to be killed. Revelation tells us in the fifth seal that the souls under the altar who were killed for the word of God are told to wait until their brethren who are killed just like they were is accomplished. During the Great Tribulation, that's going to be massive, massive. And before we get to the Great Tribulation, where we're in right now, the beginning of sorrows, many events have to depopulate the earth right now to bring more control, more control. The Georgia Guidestones keep the earth population 500 million. That's 6.5 billion people dead if you go by that law. You say, well, this will never happen. Unfortunately, it will. But does it? Stay with me now. I'm shifting. Does it have to happen right now? There's a battle going on, right? And people are a little confused on it because there's a lot of trickery. The president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, has moved in action. You can't deny this. I'm just talking about action. You'll know a tree by its fruit. To put an end to NAFTA, GATT, to kind of bring America back to its sovereign, independent nation, okay? Fighting against globalization. Now, I don't know how far this is all going, but that's the fruit. Put two Supreme Court justices that are conservatives, over 200 federal judges on the benches that were conservatives. We have a man in leadership right now that if he ever said, it's time to fight the revolution against the globalists and against the left, arm up now and we're going to battle, would you follow him? Is it time for God's people to gather together and bring all that they have together and together stand ready to defend what God has given them? I'm just asking questions right now. I know that America was founded on a revolution. I know that there were people that were Christians that fought for their liberty and their freedom. And I just sense a gathering together of God's people to stand against the Nancy Pelosi's and the George Soros's and the Bill Gates and the globalists that are out there and maybe rise up with a spirit and an attitude of you want the fight, we'll bring you the fight. And you know what they'll do? They'll back down like little babies going, oh, we were just kidding. We've got to dissect it. We've got to discern what time it is. But right now, it just seems that so many of God's people are just happy to just keep working to make things work on their, you know, I don't know. What time do you think it is? They're coming. We were told yesterday by a broadcast that Bill and what is her name? Amanda? What is Amanda Gates? Bill and so many Gates, his wife, she was doing an interview with an upside down cross. An upside down cross? I don't know why she did that. The Luciferians, the satanic priesthood, they're coming for your guns to disarm you. They need to get rid of Donald Trump, don't they? And by all means, I mean, who's gonna beat Donald Trump in a real election? Nobody. Nobody's going to beat him. If we're not careful, the November elections could have a shocking surprise. If we're not careful. The left thought 4 years ago, Hillary was a sure win. God forbid. The people now are just saying, well, Trump's in. It's a sure win. Don't think stupid. There are some indicators. Something's deadly wrong. And we need to be aware. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. I'm following the King and so are you. But we voted for this man called Donald J. Trump, didn't we? Did you? Those of us who did, we voted for him. And the propaganda against his life every single day. Now, possible Is it possible that the tables will turn, Donald Trump will win the election, and then he will begin his investigation into all the bad guys, and we'll see the bad guys start going to jail? Anything is possible, especially with God. Is that what time it is? Or is there something else we're supposed to recognize here? Namely, what God has warned would come to pass in the last days are now underway. Well, I've said my piece at least to a degree, and what I would like to do is shift to the radio broadcast here and say good morning to everybody. Got a lot of calls coming in right now. Very good. I've got calls coming in on Blog Talk Radio. I want to say good morning to our friends here on Facebook and on YouTube. And let me just say good morning to Sharon Evans. Good morning, Sharon and Kevin. God bless you. Cindy, God bless you. Sonia, God bless you. Mark Hayden, good morning to you, sir. And Keith Carey, good morning to you, Keith. God bless you. Happy you had a day off Monday. Thank you, sir. We certainly did need it. All right. So Carol, Carey, good morning, Carol. God bless you. George and Michael, good to see you guys on the air today as well. Want to say good morning to Vinny Pots and Pans. Good morning, Vinny. Diane Gravely, welcome, Diane. I'm seeing a lot of comments out there. Ian, good morning to you, sir. God bless you. And let's go on down the list here. And some great comments that are out there. Great comments. I probably should read them, and maybe we'll do that in just a moment. In fact, let me just take a look because I saw it. This was very interesting. Let's start here with how about using the platform and grow it bigger, i.e. having your audience spread the word about, well, Vinny, that would be a good idea. People want to be part of the ministry. We're ready to go. Keith said, still waiting in Ohio for permission to meet in our churches. He says some churches are doing parking lot assembly. One large fellowship has begun to hold services. I won't say which one to protect. Okay, Keith, well enough. Yes, God bless you, and I'm sorry you've had to wait for that to happen. Let's see, Sony just sent you a message on V Omega Radio. I need to find that. Vinny Pots and Pans, we are gathered here right now. Build this up, Vincenzo, and God will direct the flock just like how God led me to you. Vinny, God bless you, sir. We are laboring. Here we go. All right. Vinny Pots and Pans says, to help Vincent, please hit the like button. Thumbs up. Yes. If you like what you're seeing and hearing today, make sure you like us and just subscribe. I don't even know what that means, but I hope you do. All right. Sonia says, RE paper money. You're spot on, Pastor Vince. Everything moving digital only. They're trying to lose the value of the money. I believe that with all my heart. Gwen Towers accomplished that interconnected goal. So Ian Rood, my brother, who is, God bless this young man, he says the Ground Wave Emergency Network, he's giving me some information about the Gwen, G-W-E-N Towers, that will accomplish the interconnected goal. I believe that. Ian's got an amazing testimony on these things. Carol is saying, Pastor, please explain Revelation 6:6. Do not damage the oil and the wine. Does that refer to the rich people will not be affected? I don't believe that. I believe that there's going to be a precious resource that God's going to give to his elect that are honoring his word to prepare for these times. And that's what I'm believing it really is. Sonia says, no politics here. Trump is a praying president surrounded by believers that lay hands on him regularly and pray. Praise God. And we need to pray for the president as well. And Carol says it's Melinda Gates. Melinda was wearing an upside down cross. We don't know why, but she did. So the left are desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. That's exactly what I'm thinking that they will be doing. Very desperate things. God loves justice. Vincenzo, God is leading Trump and is surrounded by the Holy Spirit. I agree. Let's pray for him. Let's see if he tells the people that are following him to arm up. It's ready because there's a fight coming. Is America ready for a second revolution? I don't know. Where do you stand in your heart on that? No one. Nothing will touch him unless God says so. That's true. EDI, Meng Mena Kunaiwan. I don't know what that means, Edie, but welcome to the broadcast. It sounds like maybe it's a little Filipino, perhaps. I don't know. EDI, Meng Mena Kunaiwan. What does that mean? I want to know. Phil says, Bella Vista loves your view. All right, so let's get busy. We're in it, folks. We are in it, and I'm going to take some calls right now coming in on area code 818-369-0326. The number to call, 818-369-0326. And we've got a few calls coming in. Let's take our first call coming in from area code 479-855-4156. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. How are you this morning?
Good morning from the voice of one crying in the wilderness. How are you?
I am crying. I can tell you, man, you were talking about Colorado. They sure do have some mountains. It's a little rocky, but they got some beautiful mountains. I mean, you and I have been up there. But you and I have experienced something together that I want to share because you've touched my heart on two things. One of them is you've been, you know, stirring up people in today's broadcast that know in their heart there must be more. There must be something more. And I'm sitting here and I'm in a congregation, but I know there's something more, but they don't know what to do. I'm reminded of the testimony and the truth that started with you and I coming under a pastor named Pastor Paul, and how he started his ministry by, first of all, he felt in his heart that he was getting called out of the traditional concept, out of the ways of the traditional sect, and he started ministering in his kitchen by turning around the chair, ministering to his wife. That's how it all began, right?
Absolutely.
Are you there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and so by that, by faith, and then look what it grew today. You and I would not be here in this position of this moment in time if he didn't do that, if he didn't step out in faith, knowing what was in his heart, and here we are today. And I thought that was just a profound revelation that needed to be heard, because there's people out there saying, you know what, maybe I do need to get a step of faith. Maybe I do need to reach out because I know there's more in my heart, but I just am a little bit of apprehension. But I want to say to the listeners, be encouraged by what Pastor Vince and I and many others are being experienced, being a part of right now. If it wasn't for that one man's faith to turn a chair around in the kitchen to start ministering to wife, and it grew after that because God saw the faith. The other thing I wanted to share with the listeners is this. I'm excited, I think, by this revelation that God gave me by in the feeding of the 5,000, when the multitude came out of darkness. Jesus had such compassion for them, as we know. And then he said, okay, to the disciples, make him go and sit down in groups of 50s and 100s on the green grass. Now, that's significant because in Revelation, God says, don't hurt any green thing, anything that has life, and green represents life. So what you're talking about is coming out, gathering together, and there's people that are doing that on the green grass. Now, that represents life. So there are moments in time that God is securing his people in pocket places over this earth that are going to sit down in groups of maybe 30s and 50s and maybe 100, but yet they're being led to the green grass. And that's my prayer, that all would hear the calling out to go and sit with like-minded people on the green grass, because we are going to be protected from the things that are coming upon, but yet we're going to be fed in the wilderness. We're going to be rejoicing in one mind and one accord, and there's nothing that's going to harm us, and we're going to be overcomers, and we're going to stand strong in this hour.
Amen. God bless you. I felt anointing on that, Pastor Michael. That's awesome stuff. And Michael, you gave that prophetic word, four waves. The second wave is now being spoken of in the news media. Thank you for sharing those words. We're going to see it happen. The waves are coming, but God's people will be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. God bless you, my dear friend, and thank you for calling in. Shalom.
Amen.
All right, very good. Hello. Pastor Michael Villarin, and now we're going to take a phone call coming in from area code 574. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for welcoming me to your broadcast there. My name's Pastor Hibbilly Johnson, and I'm just excited to listen to you today, and I'm trying to pick up a couple things. Now, I'm wondering the one thing here. If we arm ourselves down here in Tennessee, okay? So now, if them Chinese men come over here, you know, they're going to have a hard time down here in the mountains, don't you think? It's going to be hard for them to come and take this country over if they blow up all the electricity everywhere. And they come down here, and we got all kinds of traps and everything already, tunnels dug. We're ready already down here. So I think that we're safer than people think we are because of people here in Appalachia and stuff. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I think about that. I think that what you're saying is true. I think there are militia all over the country, and people are prepared, and we have more guns. But it's not the outside sources always that happen first. First, what the enemy does is he stirs an internal revolution. He gets a civil war going, and a house divided cannot stand. And so while there may be readiness, it does not necessitate there will be no war, no invasion, no attack. The wrong politicians in power laboring to take guns away or creating COVID-19 or other mechanisms could undermine that preparation. But having said that, let's take our next call. Coming in from area code 605, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, area code 605. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
Hello, Vincent. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Okay. Well, we're meeting with a little group down here, and they meet in a coffee house, and the people are gathering. And this pastor, he is really used to God because he sees through what you're talking about, what has happened with, he calls it the American religion. And he said, what it is, it's just this form of godliness and denying all this power thereof that the book of Acts talks about. Well, no, the book of Acts is full of it, where we are going to go forth, God's people, and go house to house. So everything you're saying is the truth. Now, my question, and why is it that these American churches, when people get saved, come to the Lord, they tie them to the benches instead of telling them, go to the byways and highways. Oh, hang up and listen.
Okay, don't be dismayed. Do not be dismayed, neither be afraid, right? So there is a blackout of understanding. Remember, God said that his church was in shock. And they are in a deep spirit of denial about what's going on in this world. And I do not advocate a deliverance through our own strength. I believe what's coming down the pike is so dark. And listen, when the enemy makes his move and you're caught in that snare, you're going to suffer. I don't want to be caught in the snare. I want to be found worthy to escape, but I also want God's people. And I just believe there's some kind of supernatural anointing, a true supernatural almighty God that has an ability to supernaturally, almightily protect you and your beloved, those that you love, those that are lined up with the purposes of God. It is time. It's urgent to work. I mean, if the World Series was coming up and the baseball season was underway, people would say, ah, come on, come on, come on. It's not there. Second wave is coming. The third wave is coming. The fourth wave is coming. And I believe, this is me, I could be wrong about this, but I believe those waves are going to hit before November. And right around November, December, I think things are going to be so different. I could be wrong. It could be that those waves are a little bit more spaced out. I don't think so. And I believe they're coming. But I do believe that what just happened while we all went back into our rooms to wash our hands is the final installment was made. The final installment, while men slept, the devil planted something. He installed something. And I when we come out of this and everybody says, all right, come on out in the open now. Come on. They're going to make it look so normal. Something's wrong. And when I look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, I cannot turn away from what I see. I can't. I appreciate and value, as all of you do, all those people out there giving us information. But man, the Bible has the greatest insight to what's going on right now, and it's telling us what to do. it might be well, you know, if we were to spend, let's say we had a year left. Let's say we had 1 year. Okay, just work with me in this. It's May 2020. What if by April or May of 2021, there were no more stations like these? That the world changed so dramatically, there was no longer any time to get resources, to gather together, to have people working together. Listen, I don't want somebody walking into my house at 3 or 4 in the morning with black suits and weapons, arresting me and taking me to prison or killing me because of this, that, or the other. I'd rather be around a whole bunch of my family, brothers and sisters who are moving in the same direction, because one alone, you're going to get wiped out. Two is better than one, but a threefold cord cannot be broken. I believe Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. I just believe, and this isn't fear, it is what the word of God says, do not forsake the assembling. Now is the time to buy that land, to plant those gardens, to build those greenhouses, to get your food and your water and get yourself out of the way. And then the only thing you could do beyond that is trust the living God. Because listen, we're just building for a moment. We have to go through something, and we have to endure going through without letting our love grow cold, without letting our faith dry up. So right now, the intrinsic value of faith, hope, and love is powerful. We have to get it strong, but you have to know it's going to be contested by the things that are witnessed coming on this earth. Love is going to be tested by a wickedness that I don't think we've ever known before. How are we going to love when we don't even love people that pass us by on the freeway and give us the salute, the one finger salute, right? How are we going to do this? You got to prepare now internally, but you also need to prepare now to be gathered together in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. You have to. And if you don't, if you neglect it and you get giddy and say, next year, maybe you'll be right. Maybe you'll be wrong. But Jesus said, when you see these things, do something. Do something. If you have any questions or comments, the number to call, 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. I believe it's time to gather. I'm just going to be straight with you now, okay? I'm going to just speak to you from my heart. I believe it's time for God's people to gather together. I believe it, you know, the idea of just showing up in the wilderness one day, or showing up in the mountains, or showing up someplace having never experienced before could be a little rough, wouldn't you say? Now you have to make the right move, and you need the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. And I don't care where you live, if you're in Alaska, if you're in Massachusetts, if you're in Colorado, it doesn't matter where you are. Do something right now different. Get out of the mentality of the frog in the pot as the water is being turned up. Get out. Do something different. Ask Holy Spirit to show you what to do, where to go. What can I do? Go to the store, buy some tuna. I don't know. Do something. Pray that God will bring like-minded people into your path. It is time. In my understanding of Scripture, it is time. We'll see what it looks like. But what will you do at this time with your life? How are you going to do it? How are you going to handle it? Love Jesus. Man, Jesus Christ is so awesome. And I don't know why he's allowing all this stuff to go on. It's part of his plan. He basically said, I know what's going to happen in the end, but don't fret it. But you do need to prepare for it, because right past it is the greatest millennial kingdom age that is coming on the face of this earth. Don't do anything to spoil your birthright. Don't do anything to give up, like Esau, your birthright. Yield your birthright for a pot of stew from the New World Order. Don't do it. Man, if you've been nasty to God's kids, if you've been really nasty and unrepentant, your days are numbered. That is the truth. I wouldn't want to mess with God's kids no matter what. I wouldn't want to say anything that is not right against God's kids. You're setting yourself up for a fall. The devil's going to take hold of your spirit, your soul, and your body, and he's going to have permission to wreak havoc in your life. You need to make sure if you've done anything against anybody, you need to stop what you've done, especially if you touch what belongs to God. You better watch your step. I'm telling you, I'm watching mine. Man, if I mess up, I want to be quick to repent. I want to be quick to confess. This is not a time to give the devil place in your life. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Give no place to the devil. And man, if you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. You know that. Get it right in your relationships. Love and honor the Lord, the King. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just think you may have the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. The time of Pentecost is coming. The great feast of Shavuot is coming. I have a miracle testimony about what just happened in Passover. A miracle. I can't share it right now. I refuse to. It's too soon. But right before Shavuot comes, the great feast around May 29th, right before, I'm going to share with you a miracle. I took advantage of the second Passover last Friday. I had my lamb. I sat down with the lamb and I prayed and honored the Lord the best I knew. I couldn't do the first Passover because we were doing a 21-day cleanse. And so I had to wait for the second opportunity. I did it, and a miracle, miracle. I'll share it in due season. But the great feast of Shavuot is coming. That's the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit got poured out. I would position myself right now in my family, in our ecclesia, to be positioned for an outpouring of the rain of the Holy Spirit that's going to make contact with the seed that was sown. In the next 4 months are going to be seasons of reaping and harvesting. I'm telling you, God's economy and kingdom is amazing. And it does not depend on the world system. You and I need to learn how to operate in the economy of the kingdom of heaven. And there are ways. And if you honor God in his word and you follow his ways, you want to have a life that's worth living? Come on. We're here to bless you. We're here to tell the truth. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll have my dear brother, Daniel Seckham from Australia, joining me on the air. We'll have another great one-hour conversation. After that, I'll be speaking with my brother, Ian Rood, again over at Kerm Radio. Kerm Radio, AM, FM, and globally around the world on the internet at kerm.net. That's K-U-R-M.net. So I'll see you tomorrow. I hope that this was enough food for thought for today. And again, we certainly appreciate it. I've got a few minutes left, and I see a number of people have commented. Let me go back to my comment boards. Let's see what we have here. Richard, hi there. Can I ask a question? Yes, Richard, what's the question? I want to know right away. Let's see. Did he ever ask it? Richard, I never saw your question. I got 90 seconds. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I would love to hear your question. Sister Kim saying, wow, I can't wait to hear about your second Passover experience. Thank you, Kim. I can't wait to share it. I agree with the next wave hitting around the fall, causing many to fall away in the seas of humanity roaring and the waves of fear crashing into confusion, thus cities of confusion. My God, again, what a word spoken. Because their foundation is not the God of Torah. Well, we get that. He is coming for those who keep his commandments because of love and have the testimony of Yeshua. Let's not bow down to the gods of man, fellow saints. Amen. And Vinny, thanks for your encouragement out there, man. I appreciate you so much. And Richard Head, yes, sir. I've been waiting for your question. Can't find you anywhere on phone or anyplace else. Maybe tomorrow we'll have to get into that. I've got about 45 seconds. Again, God bless you. Please. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. I guess that's what you do in your Facebook. And thank you for supporting our ministry. We've been flashing how you could do that. You could actually go to our website at nwmglobal.org, go under the donations tab, or you could do it those of you who've been watching, you know what, you're listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. I'm waiting to hear that first voice say, I want you to come to our city. We're here. We're waiting. We're willing. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless everybody. Right now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a deliverance roundtable discussion. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow. And God bless.